Hello, hello, hello! Welcome back to another episode of Stable Geniuses. I'm Eagle, and I will be your host once again. First things first, I'd like to announce the winner of the Episode 3 badge drawing to be one Colin. Congratulations, Colin. The registration department will contact you with the code or what have you for the free badge. Now, getting right down to business, I am very excited as this episode of Stable Geniuses kicks off a series of guests from the crew who puts on the lovely, the amazing Grand Galloping Gala. The head of both the gala and the cosplay department, the deputy of cosplay, and our third is not only a gala cast member, she is the one, the only, the lovely main event. Why don't you introduce yourselves and say hi to the ponies, folks?
Alrighty, so I guess I'll start.
Hello, my name is Kat, and I go by Lady Ava Cosplay, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And I'm Shelby, Shelbini Cosplay, the one of the mascots and one of the gala actors, and it's nice to be here.
Hi, my name is Escanova, and I am the deputy of cosplay. It is nice to meet you.
And it is so, so lovely to have you all here. It's been just great talking to the entire cast throughout this little journey of ours. As has been mentioned many times, the gala is my absolute favorite part of BronyCon, so just having you all here has been... oh, it's been a trip. I did have the idea of, I know currently talking about this year's gala is off limits. And in a way, so is talking about where y'all want to go next.
Mm-hmm.
If we came back and did this all again after the con, would you be willing?
Absolutely. I would have no issue coming in and talking about the gala after everything happens. But I told the rest of the cast that we're treating this as if we were the cast of the Endgame, of the Avengers Endgame, and nobody's allowed to be Tom Holland and nobody's allowed to be Mark Ruffalo. So, in other words, no spoilers, no talking about the show.
I mean, I'm just gonna be, I'm just being Paul Rudd. That's all I'm being that entire thing.
When it has to be Paul Rudd. But if we were to do like a postmortem interview to talk about the show, I would be all for it. But for right now, we are treating it like it's the Endgame.
That being said, I do have a few questions I've asked, which are standard, which starting off is, how did you end up involved in either staffing BronyCon or the gala in particular?
Let's have Shelby over here start, and we'll go through it, because it's a little bit of a different story. I know Escanova and I have been kind of on the, we've been doing kind of the same journey here together, so let's have Shelby start us off.
Okay. Mine's pretty simple. I remember the first year that the gala was being started, somebody emailed me and was like, hey, we're looking for people for this thing, submit something. And so I submitted an audition and I got cast as Fluttershy, but I couldn't end up doing the first gala because I was starting a business in Colombia and I couldn't get off. And so I came back the next year as Fluttershy, and I've been Fluttershy for all of them except for the one gala that we did the Dazzlings in. And as far as staffing goes, it just sort of became a organic. Kat managed to get us all into the staff from cosplaying and working on the gala, because we do a whole heck of a lot of work for this. So I'm always really happy to be a part of something. And then as for mascotting, I sort of fell into that. Kat asked me to take over for the other Kat, who was main event, because she was no longer able to attend. So I'm enjoying that. That's super fun.
She's living the dream.
Living the dream, guys.
As for Escanova and myself, we were part of the very first gala that ever had, like, a stage show. We had been attending GroniCon prior to that. We attended the year before.
And the year before that, too.
And the year before that, too. Yeah, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Back when it was back in Jersey.
Sorry. real quick side note. When that happened, when Lady Ava here got me into My Little Pony, I thought, like, at first it was just going to be, like, a one-and-done thing. And this was, like, back in, like, the Otakons. And I think there was another convention we did it. But I only did... We did, what was it? Rainbow Dash and Soarin'. And then... I think it was a day in the city where you and another friend of ours were poking me, being like, hey, Jeff, wanna go here? Wanna go here? Come on, be my big brother. I'm just like,
ugh. BFF, Jeff.
Literally, it was nonstop. It was just a barrage. I'm like, fine, let's do this. And then, honestly, I had a lot of fun on that first year. And then, well, take it away, since I'm going to go off in memory lane.
So we signed up to be Twilight and Spike, mainly because we have a very interesting rapport together. We basically are like siblings in real life. So for us to be Spike and Twilight kind of just organically worked out. Then one year, I think it was 2016, our current gala director couldn't be on site for the convention. So I ended up taking over for her during that year. So that was the first year I ran the cosplay stuff, and that was the first year on site I directed the gala. After that, we had a split where she felt that we could take over and handle doing cosplay while she focused on the gala. So Escanova and I created the cosplay department, and that changed the layout of how cosplay was handled at BronyCon, where... we created a competitive category and a non-competitive category, and we created it for the span of 2 days where people could showcase their work and be able to really have their costumes judged by incredibly talented judges that we bring in every year. The three of them have been nothing short of phenomenal, so big shout out to them. And then when our gala director decided to leave the convention and go to pursue her career, I was given the gala, and it kind of went from there. I directed the first year. I took the literal horse reins here, yes. And it went from there. We did some recasting. We brought in some new people, and I feel that last year our department was probably one of the best memories I've had from last year, because it was a solid group of people. And we created new content for the cosplayers and with the kids' rooms and everything like that. And I really feel like we were
very, very active with everybody, from even for people that were of cosplay and not of cosplay as well. Parents, kids, family, you name it. We were everywhere at that point.
Yeah. So, and yeah, I mean, that's where it kind of leaves off. We're coming back for the last year, guns blazing and ready to really create a really great experience for everybody attending the last BronyCon.
Prepared to shoot to thrill, huh?
But this is a G-rated convention, so we'll use water guns instead.
Yes.
Nerf guns.
Yes, let's go with Nerf guns, as I'm sure with the dress code of the gala, water would not be appreciated.
Not so much, no.
Just for drinking, not for throwing.
I love that dramatic pause between the three of us. Wow!
Oh, God. All right, sorry.
Everybody, that was Jeff, not one of the girls.
Oh, boy.
You know what we got yourselves into. You all know.
Yes, we do. And if you're lucky, you'll hear my Revenge of the Nerds laugh before the night is out.
Oh, don't worry. It'll happen.
I cannot wait.
It is not something I can do on command. You have to actually get me to laugh that hard.
We all have different varieties of humor, so one of us will hit the spot for you.
We'll see what we can do.
Good to know. Okay, so that covers how you got involved and more or less what you each do. Although, having one of the mascots on here, I forgot to ask, Chither.
Jordan?
No, I don't think it was Jordan. was
yeah, Jordan plays Blank Canvas for as the mascot.
Oh, yes. Okay, thank you. I actually did forget to ask Jordan this, but what is it like being one of the mascots?
So it's actually pretty wonderful. The company that I owned prior to this was a birthday party princess company, so I have a lot of experience working in character with children, and I've done it for a lot of My Little Pony conventions around the country, actually. So getting to just sort of step into this character and getting to represent the convention, represent the feelings of all the people who are attending the convention, has just been a really wonderful and unique experience. It's just been such a wonderful way to connect with everybody there, because I find that My Little Pony conventions, particularly of all the conventions that I have been to, like, I've been to sci-fi, I've been to anime, I've been to all sorts of conventions, but just the pure camaraderie and love of friendship and respect for each other is just so much more apparent at My Little Pony conventions than any other convention I've been to. So getting to just sort of connect with everybody on a more meaningful level has just been really wonderful. So I've enjoyed being a mascot.
Shelby is a very, very talented actress. And when the opportunity came up for us to have a new main event step in, because our other one was not returning, I thought she was the perfect fit. She has the charisma for it. She is very good with people. And she crushed it last year as main event. So I can tell you right now that you can look forward to some really cool stuff we have planned for the mascots this year, because I'm working on some stuff for them. So the mascots have a nice, fun final story to tell for BronyCon. And so I think she, once again, is going to be an A-plus main event for us.
What's the term we're using now?
Punch him in the feels.
Punch him in the feels. I think the term is punch him in the feels hard.
And as I've noticed, she's also one spectacular singer.
Thank you. I have a very expensive piece of paper that says so.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's one of the main reasons we had her sing live last year for the gala, was because her expensive piece of paper needed to be showcased. So we decided to have her sing live for the gala, which was probably one of my favorite things.
Showcased it was. I have never seen a room full of hundreds of people drop silent like that. But for her, they did.
I'm glad that it worked out, because I couldn't hear the music for the first part, so I was terrified.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I felt so bad.
I think that was the one, that's why I ran on stage and handed you the mic, because I honestly thought, I didn't think that was the reason, I thought your mic was not working. That's why I'm like, here.
I know, that's what everybody thought. No, I just straight up couldn't hear the music, because once the music started, everybody started, like, cheering, and then I couldn't hear where the music was, and that whole track is all like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So, yeah. Oh, that was a terrifying moment in my life. I wanted to cry.
But you held it like a champ, my friend.
Just turned around and pirouetted on stage until I knew where I was and called it good.
Oh, back up. You owned a company?
Yeah. So I owned a birthday party princess company in Colombia up until, I guess, about a year or two ago when I moved from Colombia and just couldn't run it there.
Colombia, the country or the city?
Columbia, South Carolina. I'm living like 2 hours down in Charleston now. But I didn't have a car for a year, so it was really hard to do birthday parties when you couldn't go anywhere.
At least do birthday parties in costume. I cannot imagine living in Southeast Coast heat and walking somewhere in costume.
Oh, friend, the things I could tell you. It gets really interesting for sure.
So, you and Jeff have always been Twilight and Spike since the beginning?
Yes.
Shelby's been Fluttershy every year except 2017, at which point she was Pinky, right?
No, I was Adagio. And I wasn't Fluttershy in the very first gala. I was cast, but I couldn't attend because I was working on my business.
Yeah. We had to get a last minute replacement for her, but we brought her back and she's been fabulous. So.
She is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
The gala is a very unique event to BronyCon because of how we do a stage show with it and everything like that. And it's interesting because I feel like a lot of people don't fully grasp the amount of work that goes into the gala. Because how it worked is after last year, after we ended in, I believe it was late, was it in August last year we had BronyCon? I'm drawing a blank. So in early August, we ended BronyCon, and that Sunday, we all went out to dinner as a giant, like, end-of-convention party type thing for us. And we ended up sitting there, and everybody, like, talking amongst themselves, and I remember I'm sitting with my boyfriend's on one side, and Kira was on the other side of me. And I'm sitting there, and I have my phone out, and I'm just looking, and Kira's like, hey, like, you want to, like, join in all the conversation, blah, blah, blah. And she looks down and she's like, Kat, are you writing notes for next year? And I'm like, yep. Because a lot of what we decided for the gala, I was grabbing from the cast and what they were talking about and what they were being enthusiastic about. So when it came down to writing the show this year, it was almost as if everybody had a little piece to contribute, and that's how I kind of built the show. But the gala itself, like, we start relatively early to start rehearsing. It took me about 2.5 to 3 months to write the show. And that was also last year as well. It took me about 2.5 to 3 months to write the show. And I can tell you a fun fact that is not wildly known about the galas. Is the two that I have written, which is the movie one and this year's gala, have both entirely been written on my phone. I have not once used a computer to write the gala. I write during my commute. I write during my commute to work. So I will sit there for my hour and change commute to work every day on my phone, and I will just sit there and I will type up the scripts, and I write out of order. Everything gets written however, like, I'm trying to decide how audio is going to work and how cues are going to work, and I build off of audio ideas and things.
Basically, stream of consciousness.
Yes, I work within a stream of consciousness. And what happens after that is the cast kind of got little pieces of the script I'll share, or, like, tiny pieces of the script, but they don't get to read the entirety of it until it is complete. So how we rehearse is through either Discord, or we rehearse through Google Hangouts. And I remember when I gave them the script, it was probably one, my favorite part is reading their reactions to things. That's how I get to understand if it's going to work or not. The cast is technically the first audience when they read the scripts through. So the movie script was interesting because when I sent it out and we had our first really big rehearsal with most of the cast available to read through it, I remember when we got to the part where Snips and Snails come in for the first time as Bill and Ted, and I just remember them laughing a lot. That's how I know that it was going to be okay, because I had some serious doubts about this. The movie gala was one that I wanted to do for ages, but we never did it. And so when I finally had the opportunity to write it, I was like, this has to be, like, as much as possible. And things get cut, things get changed. There are storylines that get changed, lines get changed. There's a whole scene that got added, like, 3 weeks before the convention. And Jordan and Haley were champs trying to learn how to do it, because it was a whole sequence of, like...
I am so happy they did what they did. Thank you. Everybody's great at improv. And I think when it finally happened on stage, like, when it happened, the whole little, like, whoops of the... what was it? The whatever the crown artifact that fell off. And they both went, ah! Just like, well, that wasn't supposed to happen, but let's keep going. Although seeing the giant boulder. Yeah, I'll shut up. Go ahead.
Yeah, the giant boulder. Everything works out. We have a script. We stick to the script about 98% of the time. But some of the greatest gems of situations were never in the script. Because everything kind of just happens. One of my personal favorites of all of those was when we did the time travel gala. And we were in the 60s or the 70s? I don't remember what decade. It was your decade, Shelby. It was the 60s. And Twilight is on stage arguing with Discord. And you just see Shelby sit down and start, like, doing the deep breath with the out of her. I'm just like, I just remember looking at Danny and then turning and going, don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh. I have to sit there and look unamused. And I'm like, oh, God.
I think there was just...
But
it's really hard to keep... Honestly, like, as much as we are, like, professionals with this, it does take a really great deal of trying to keep a straight face with certain things, even if we do practice a line for, like, for a while, just because of either how funny it is or the fact that we want to possibly ad-lib just a little something else into it. And it gets fun.
It gets super entertaining. I know that we've ad-libbed stuff, especially when things go wrong. Like, our 2017 gala, I think, is notorious for being the one where everything that could go wrong went wrong. It was literally Murphy's Law, if it can go wrong.
And it had nothing to do with, like, the script or the cast. It was everything to do with just, like, everything just went wrong.
Yeah, but as a cast, we rolled with them. So that's where it worked out. We managed to make it work, which was great. And when in the year after, when we had the movie gala, when I added the line of, or worse, tech issues, it was literally, I was taking a stab at our own gala, because quite literally, it was what it was. Well, tech issues.
I'm just dying. Just dying over Katrina just, like, being on stage, dying in that horse mask, and just gesturing to us, please come and save me, but they would not let us go on stage because they hadn't turned our mics on, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, friend, I'm sorry.
Keep working it. You got this, friend, now. You got it.
She just laid on the ground and died.
I think the one, like, eye-opener for me when that happened, I was not, like... Because, like, how much space there was, like, they were all the way in the back, like, the audience were in the back when we first went on stage, and when, I think, yeah, you were the one that's like, you know, come forward, and I'm like, and I look, we just see the horde, we just see a wave of them coming, and we're like, we both had that moment, like, and...
Oh, that was terrifying. I should have picked my words better. And suddenly mistakes were made. It was kind of like the moment where I felt like Simba in the Stampede of Wildebeests, and you're just like, bah, 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 running. Oh, God.
I've done, like, black box theater. I've had the audience right up on the stage before. It was never as bad as that. Like, that's the way everybody was, like, practically climbing onto the stage. It was terrifying. Well, I mean, like, I've done children's theater. I've done black box theater. It's never been like that before.
And it was a very interesting situation when I took over to for the gala. The number one concern I have for the cast is safety. I always worry about them, like, if they get hurt or anything else. Like, I stand backstage and I'll stand there with a script while people are on stage doing their thing, and I don't know if you've ever seen, like, the little, like, animated gif of Kermit the Frog, like, biting his nails looking super nervous off stage, because that's me. I'm sitting there being like, please don't get hurt, please don't die, please don't fall, please don't break something. I'm not insured for that. And especially when it came to things like the lightsaber battle, We made sure that we were training really hard so nobody got hurt. And what it didn't dawn on me until we had our stage rehearsal, like the night, not the night before, like 2 nights before, that, on Thursday, when we started fighting, the rest of the cast didn't realize that that's what was going to happen. Like, they knew we were going to have a lightsaber battle, but all of a sudden they're like, Jeff is taking falls. Scott is taking falls. V and I are like spinning sabers and going at them like a bat out of you know where. And all of a sudden, I just remember in the corner of my eye seeing everybody take like 3 giant steps back.
Because I think they're all thinking it's like, oh, they're just going to do the normal like, no, we're going for it.
No, when we go big fan.
Sorry, I was trying to think, like, how many falls did we take?
You took more than Scott. You definitely took more than Scott.
Yo, that's true. So I was the residential crash dummy.
Quite literally. Like, you came on stage and you just would have... I'm just like, oh, that sounded like it hurt.
It's like, I'm like, just keep going.
I mean, it's Spike. He's a dragon. He can take it.
It's just been a really intensive journey through doing the gala every year for BronyCon. Every year we learn something different. Every year we come back to a new story and new crazy ideas and everything else. I think the first time our gala kind of took a step up and really like went outside the box as to what we could do as a gala was the time travel year. We kind of challenged ourselves to create a more interactive but unique show. And that was like beaming all of the music in between to fit the time period or to change costumes. That was the first year I think all of us did multiple costumes, and it's only gotten worse.
Well, it's also the first one where there was really something at stake, because before that it was just sort of, well, this is a concept, but there's not really anything, like, if this doesn't get resolved, it'll be okay, kind of thing. But there was, like, actual stakes given for the time travel gala that really changed how we approached galas from that point forward.
The way that we went into the galas is we decided to make it more episodic. And that's what happened when we moved to the movie gala. We flipped the script, we changed things up, we decided to create higher stakes that we would have the audience sitting there going, I want to know what happens. What's going to happen? And I think it was just fascinating to me because when we hit that final scene, and we all come back from stage, and everything has been resolved, and everything is, you know, kumbaya and happy again. All of a sudden, it was like, I look out, and I'm like, our audience is still about the size of when we started earlier that night. So it turned the storyline of the gala into something that I feel like the audience was really getting into. And I mean, that's just from my perspective. I wouldn't know. I'm not an audience member. I'm up on stage. But the goal when working on the gala for me personally as the director is to make sure that the audience is getting their dance time in and they get to enjoy themselves and they're really having, you know, the best night ever with pretty dresses and suits and being dressed up nicely. But at the same time, we're giving them an interactive experience where we want them to feel like they are in the episode of the show with us as the characters. And by creating that kind of environment for everybody, I feel like it creates a much more interesting experience. And I always go back, I keep saying experience and the whole, because that's what I want to give the audience. And I feel like the rest of the cast is with me on this as well, is it's all about the experience for the guests. We're just the actors. We're the ones who will spend months learning lines and everything. And that's all well and good, but at the end of the day, we're not doing it for us, we're doing it for the audience.
Okay, so I don't know if this was covered or not, but for last year for the movie gala, I was one of your on-duty room managers. I wasn't the behind-the-stage person. I was working the door and the floor and making sure things stayed in order. And there was one particular young lady, I suppose I would call her. She is probably a little older than me. But she was hanging out outside with my pal Wing, who wasn't dressed for the gala, but she was in a nice dress. She was in this amazing Pinkie Pie cosplay. And, you know, she kind of wanted to go in, but she didn't want to go in alone. She didn't know anybody, so I happened to run into Wing. I was just checking outside, making sure doors were, making sure our security team was all right and stuff. And I found Wing and this lady, and I brought her in and got to know her a bit. We're still friends on Facebook, haven't spoken in a while, but come to learn she's a teacher and stuff. She was, but I believe it was Philly she'd driven in from. And she's like, yeah, I can't stay long. And we went in about, oh, maybe hour and a half, 2 hours into the gala was when I brought her back in. And she's like, I can't stay long. I really have to leave soon to get home. So, anyways, but the end of the gala rolled around and she was still there. So, a person that was not intending to stay very long got so enthralled that she stayed the entire time.
I've heard some really kind of amazing, like, little side stories of people from the gala. And it kind of makes us... It's one of the main reasons we want to continue to do what we're doing. Because we like to see people be happy. And if our hard work helps people be happy, then I call that
And welcome to the reason why, after beginning to staff, simply because I could not otherwise financially afford to attend, I came back and did it again.
Staffing BronyCon has become one of my favorite things to do, and especially the thing here is that I, as head of cosplay and head of the gala, I do a lot of the work that nobody will ever see. So I'm handling all the pre-stuff of forms and signups, and Jeff is assisting me on those as well, where we're both sitting there like, oh, well, this is what we're doing, and we do all, like, the signups and getting people organized and emails and sitting through meetings and all that other good stuff. But when we get, it's a grand old time, darling, but when we actually get on site, and we hand out, as a the air quote, marching orders for the staff. They're the ones who make all the work that Jeff and my other deputy, Alexa, and myself do just seem like it was worth it. They go off, they do their thing, and I know because of the level of professionalism I'm dealing with, I never have to work. I have to be one of the calmest people while working at the convention because I'm like, they're like, oh, don't you want to check on your staffers? I know they're like X, Y, and Z doing this, this, and this, and this. And I'm sitting there going, no, they're doing fine. They're good.
She also knows that if there is a problem, we will let her know immediately. She doesn't have to worry.
It's one of these things where I know that if there's a problem, I'll hear about it, and I'll be able to resolve it quickly. Because there's enough of us in our little corner of the universe. Because I've made, 99% of the gala cast is actually staff. They work for the convention. Be it as mascot actors, be it as just cosplay people, working in the cosplay space, helping people out, doing panels, all of it. Even the Royal Breakfast where they come in and it's like an experience that I don't want to say reminds us of a certain theme park in Florida and California, but very similar, where they get to meet and greet and eat and enjoy time with the whole royal family of Equestria, which is why I really think that's another unique experience that we brought to the table. And it's, like I said, I never feel like I have to worry. Do I worry? Yes, because I actually am Twilight Sparkle in your life, and if you see the amount of organization that goes into what I give these people when they show up, they have books. I bind books for the rest of my staff.
You have, and I'm a witness to this, you have literally a list for a list for another list on top of another list by to the side of another list underneath another list. And the post-it notes.
But when the cast and everyone shows up on Thursday, what they receive is these bound books from me that include their schedules, their scripts, their notes, any staffing of availability and things, their events, everything that they do are in these books. And I spend my time getting them organized prior to the event because I want to make sure that they have everything they need to make sure that what they're doing is successful. So if you ever see any of the staff for cosplay walking around with these books in their hands, like we used the book actually, I think, twice in the gala actually last year. The book that Haley was using on stage to read her read like the clues to get to the crown across the stage type situation was her staff book. And then when V said that she needed to check the script as the Pony of Shadows, the book that was handed to her was actually the physical script. Like, it was her staff book. So everything is actually organized, and we use those books multiple times. So I'm happy to say that they're used and abused throughout the entirety of the weekend. So every so often, I will go back and I will watch, like, past galas just to kind of... It actually helped me write the galas to go back and look at what we've done, so I'm making sure we're not repeating ourselves. But what happened is when I started watching the galas, there are little nuances, like things that happen backstage that the audience will never be the wiser to. But when I'm watching it, I'm sitting there going, I know X, Y, and Z is what happened. And let me tell you, there are some moments, like, for example, the 90s gala is where I was noticing it the most. So we do the whole Spice Girls bit with all the girls, and it went well. Like, we choreographed that maybe, like, 2 days beforehand, and it looked great, and everybody did an amazing job. But then I go straight into another, like, super intensive dance battle with Spike. And halfway through the NSYNC bit that we did, I'm sitting there and I look at my face going, good God, I'm dying. That is like the face of someone who's about to like hit the floor and die because I was so tired.
Kat, that is what we all see. We're all off stage looking at you and going, good Lord, she needs to sleep. We are all off stage going, good Lord, this child needs to sleep. Kat. Why don't you love yourself?
I mean, let's face it, the 90s was kind of a hot mess.
If I remember correctly, like, we finished, and I win, and it's great. But then we get off stage, and I'm just like, nobody talk to me for, like, the next 10 minutes.
And you still see the indent of the brick wall with Kat's
figure. Because if I remember how my day that day went, I was up at 6 a.m., I had breakfast, we ran the cosplay stuff, I was back and forth multiple times over green room space for the fashion show and all this other stuff, and then we did the fashion show, we had 2 hours to go and get prepped, get changed, get all of our stuff back over to the convention center from our hotel, prep for the gala, we did the gala, and then when we hit that point, it was very visible, I was like, here's the wall. And I just slammed into it. It was sliding slowly down like in an old school cartoon.
Oh, can I just say, can I just say real quick, like when we were doing that, like entire, when you girls were doing the dance off and everything, and I'm just there kind of like pretending like, yeah, girls, eh. And then like all the females that like, cause you split it up between guys and girls in the audience, all the girls knew how to do that dance, like knew how to do that Spice Girl dance. And when the boy band started happening, some of the girls actually knew the dance. None of the guys knew it. And I'm like, bros, what up? Why have you forsaken me?
Because after the 90s, everybody realized that boy bands are a terrible thing.
The resurrection of the boy band is happening through Caribbean pop music. But during our dance-off in Spike and Twilight had this thing where we'd always be doing dance-offs and lots of them. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it happened, but lo and behold, we always had a dance-off. And I just remember sitting backstage, I was up on top of one of the like equipment crates backstage during 2017's gala. I'm sitting there, and I'm staring out at like the stage, because there was like a little dazzling scene right beforehand. And I'm just standing there, I'm sitting on top of this crate watching them do their bit. And I have my boyfriend who was helping out with the gala that year. He's like, are you okay? Are you ready to do this? And I just look at him and I'm going, I'm having a panic attack, but we'll see how it goes. And I just walk on stage. So I did the entire sequence with a full-fledged anxiety attack where I'm just sitting here going, well, let's hope for the best and see how it goes. And here we are. But never say I'm not dedicated. Never say this cast is never dedicated enough to really go all out for our people. Because Scott was a champ last year. He had herniated discs in his back. And he managed to get through fight scenes and a dance sequence with our lovely cadence, everything, without making it look like it was bothering him. I know we all had our issues throughout the gala, and I'm only speaking from my own personal experience, but I know that with said issues, we still power through it and make sure that we give the best show to everyone. Because that's what matters at the end. We die after. Like, oh god, it's horrible. Like, the whole lot of us are just like, and we go to bed.
What they don't realize is nothing is open after the gala, so we go back to our rooms and starve.
To be fair, there was that one year after the gala where it was Jeff, Kira, Sarah, and myself. Jeff made rice in the rice cooker, and we were up until 3 a.m. talking about ginger.
Well, I remember there was one year that I brought like instant ramen with me just in case, and I know that like Cody was dying and he was just like laying on the floor and Sam was in the corner with her stuffed animals just breathing heavily, and I'm just over there making ramen like nobody is okay.
As the person who has put everybody on the big hush, don't say anything, this is my official statement in regards to the 2019 gala. The gala this year is going to be a very unique experience, more unique than anything I believe we have done in the past years. We are giving our all to this. It is the longest gala I have ever written. It is also going to be one of these situations where you're going to come in, you're not going to know what to expect, and that's what we're hoping for. You'll laugh, you'll have a good time, you'll have a lot of feels because it's our last show and you're going to enjoy it. I almost can guarantee that this is such a unique and different show from past years. I don't want to say that you'll be disappointed, but I will say that you're in for a really good.
I mean, I know when we finished last year, Kat was like, how are we supposed to top this? But I think that this does top it for sure. Because our gala last year was pretty top notch, guys.
I mean, I'm hoping that I get to come away from this gala describing it the way I describe Endgame. It was nothing like what I expected, but everything I could have wanted.
Yeah, basically. If our amps had a higher number, they would be turned up to 11. So, but the cast has been working so hard, and we've had a lot of, everybody's been super busy, life happens, but our cast always makes the time to make sure that they are practicing their lines and learning things that I throw at them. And it's, we have a very solid cast. The gala in itself is like this big, hugely dysfunctional family, where we all take care of each other and we all have each other's backs. That is what the gala is. And in turn, as our guests, you become part of our crazy family for a night. So we want to make sure that when you guys come in and join our family while we perform for you guys, you all have the best night ever. So
that's what it comes yes. to. And I believe absolutely 125% that if any group of people on this planet can pull this off, it's y'all. And I just know that y'all will. And it almost saddens me that I won't be working with y'all on it this year like I was. But it is what it is.
You're with us in spirit.
As someone who has been a member of the gala since the first one, I have gotten the opportunity to get to know all of these people on a much deeper level than just being convention friends. We talk on a daily basis. We talk about our successes. We talk about our not-so-successful days. We vent. We get out our frustrations. We support each other when one of us is feeling at their lowest, and we push each other to succeed. And I don't think I've ever had a group of people that I would rather have that with than with these very talented, very motivated, very, very unique individuals that I've met because of the gala. Jeff and I have been friends for years, and for the two of us to come into this and meet people from all over the country that we never thought we would have the opportunity to ever meet has proven to be a really, oh, I don't want to say it, but it really has been a very life-altering scenario. I mean, the entire like Carolina group, our friends from California, Colorado, even our local friends who have joined our cast, we've all gotten to know each other more because we're working so closely together. And because of that, they have become a part of my daily life. Even if I don't get to see them on a daily basis, they are still a part of my daily life. If something good happens, I can't wait to tell the rest of the gala cast, like, hey, did you hear this really awesome thing that happened? It's great. Or when other of our friends have like new jobs or really good opportunities handed to them, or they're going to a convention and they work really hard on this new costume and they show us for the first time before posting it anywhere else, we're there to celebrate it. And that's the kind of relationship that we want to pass on to the rest of our attendees, to let them know that we appreciate you guys and we're here to support you guys. And the fact that you guys keep showing up every year is why we still get to do this. If people stopped coming, we wouldn't have a gala. But because people have been coming and they have been supportive and they have been encouraging us to try like different things and expand upon the show that we've created to create what we're doing now is nothing short of fantastic. Bronies are supportive as anything. And when coming into the fandom, when I did, all them years ago at this point, to now come back to seeing it as our final year at BronyCon, it's bittersweet. Almost, because I know that I'm still going to be friends with these people after the convention is over, but it's almost, it kind of hurts, and I'm going to be the one who's going to hold it together as much as they can and then probably be a hot mess on Sunday. So I'll let
it's
everybody...
It's going to be just one chapter ending.
One chapter ending.
But it doesn't mean that our friendship is over.
So one book closes, but another one is waiting for the next one.
And with all, I don't know, just like with this entire journey. Like, I didn't think it was going to go, at least personally for me, I didn't think it was going to go as far as it did, but because I guess when I first thought about, like, doing, at least just getting into MLP in general, I'm thinking, like, oh, this is not for me, you know, I didn't grow up with this stuff. But then after literally, like, giving it a legitimate chance, and I'm like, oh, this actually does have a good message, cool. And then going to the convention and doing all the cosplays, and then seeing how the community just evolves with it too, like, it just kept, and there's like no, it's infinite in a sense, it does its own thing. And when I got to do the gala, I started to see it as more of a, we're all here, we're all family, and I wanted to continue with this family too, for as long as it can go, because we just work together that way. We care about each other. We want to make sure everybody is, you know, at least on the up and up. And if anyone fell down, we're gonna pick them right back up, and we're gonna make them feel better. And honestly, like, this is, don't get me wrong, I love the community and everything, but this gala crew, this is my crew. This is the crew that I will have their back any day of the week, and I know they'll have mine. And come BronyCon, oh god, I'm gonna be, I know everyone's gonna be a hot mess, but oh man, I am going to be a, I'll be like, I'm a puddle, I'll be a freaking ocean on the floor. And I think no matter what, like, we're gonna still make the best memories there, we're still gonna have the best night ever, and even when that's said and done, it's not over yet, because we're still going to have our fun, we're still going to do what we like to do, and honestly, we'll figure out something in the future so that this crew can hang out once again, because I don't want to lose in touch with this crew. This Galacast is amazing, Kat's amazing, Shelby's amazing, everybody else is amazing, and I don't know. You know, I know the future. You don't know where the future's gonna go. So, honestly, I'll be driving the bus. Everybody, hop in. We're going.
See, I don't see this as an end. I see it as a beginning. Because for me, being a part of this gala, being a part of this fandom, has opened so many doors for me, and it's opened so many opportunities for the people in the gala to grow as a costumer, as a performer, as a person. I don't see this as, it might be the end of something physical, but it's not the end of our friendship. It's not the end of our collaborations. It might be our last BronyCon, but it's not our last hurrah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot. We're running a bit long on time. So any closing thoughts?
I just can't wait to see everypony. That's it. I'm just excited to see everyone.
Honestly, I'm in the same boat as Shelby, on top of just get ready for a lot of things. Just get ready for all the good things and all the memories.
Get ready for the feels.
I was going to say that for Kat, but...
I hope that if you are planning on attending the gala this year, I hope that you do. Our cast has worked very, very hard. We're looking forward to bringing you guys a really unique show filled with a lot of laughs, a lot of great moments, and maybe even a few feels for you guys. Because this may be the last BronyCon gala, but don't think this is the last of us. You'll see us around, and I'm just excited to bring the show back to BronyCon for its last year. So I hope you all will come and join us, and thank you for just being as supportive as you have been. It really means the world to myself and to the rest of my staff and my cast.
Thank you all three of you for coming on this evening. You've been awesome. That about wraps things up here on this episode of Stable Geniuses. Thanks for listening. Look forward to seeing you next time. I'd like to remind you that if you have any questions for our guest, You can reach out to us via Facebook or Twitter using the hashtag StableGeniuses or at the email podcast@bronycon.org. Stable Geniuses is a product of BronyCon and is hosted by myself, Eagle, is produced by Neon, additional production and sound design by Reggie Kruger, and a special thanks to everyone who's helped make this podcast a reality. Lastly, I'd like to remind you to check out the Google Forms link in the episode description, as it leads to a form to enter a drawing for a free 4-day badge to this year's BronyCon. See y'all next time!